The book is, it's a bunch of different things. One of the things that it is a murder mystery.
The literary conceit that I started with was to do a novel with Machiavelli as a detective, because I thought, oh, wouldn't it be interesting if he used the precepts of the prince to solve a crime? Well, so I started looking into, you know, what would be the most interesting setting in time and place for this story. And I focused on the final months of the year 1502, when he's a junior Florentine diplomat at the court of Cesare Borgia, the celebrated Duke Valentino, who becomes essentially the hero of the prince, the exemplar of the ideal prince. And at this time, Valentino is involved in this deadly political chess game with this group of mercenary warlords known as the Condottieri. Machiavelli is present and observes all of this, and this becomes the centerpiece of the narrative centerpiece of the prince. So I'm looking at this period, and I discovered that one of the people he met in this remote region of Italy called the Romagna was Leonardo da Vinci, who was at the same court, was Valentino's military engineer at the time. But interestingly, both Leonardo and Machiavelli leave the Borgia court, leave the court of Cesare Borgia, Duke Valentino, at the same time, very, very suddenly, under very suspicious circumstances. They both end up in Florence, where they work together intimately on this national security project for the Republic of Florence. So clearly there was some kind of mysterious and fraught relationship that developed between them at the court of Duke Valentino. So all of a sudden I had the potential for this Holmes and Holmes duo, you know, because nobody's going to be Watson in this pairing.
You actually add another Holmes, a she Holmes,
yeah,
to the mix,
yeah,
too. And this woman is fictional but based on some real women?
Where the story starts, where the Pope, who is Rodrigo Borgia, happens to be the father of Duke Valentino, who is very proud of his seven bastards and has elevated, he's married off the girls to important political figures in Italy, and he's made his boys important political figures in Italy. And this series of murders that are at the center of the book begin with the murder of the Pope's, the Borgia Pope's son in Rome.
His anointed one, his favorite
yes,
son.
Yes, his favorite son.
Not his eldest.
Son. Right, his favorite son in 1497. Now, on the night that he was murdered, this son, who was kind of a ne'er-do-well, his title was Juan, Duke of Gandia. Everybody called him Juan of Gandia. So Juan of Gandia was reported to be going to the house of a Madonna Damiata, his mistress, when suddenly he disappears. The murder has never been solved. She was accused. Then the investigation mysteriously stopped. We hear no more of her. We still don't know to this day for certain who killed Juan of Gandia. I'm very certain who did it. I believe I establish it in the book. So I have no doubt about that. But Damiata gave me an opportunity to create a character who we knew existed and was involved with this murder that starts the whole ball rolling. But what happened to her? So I give her, an afterlife in my story.
And she has such a Sherlock Holmes way of being able to look at somebody and see the little details that add up to, there's a little stain on feet. It's like, oh, this woman isn't who you say she is. She's actually been stomping fabric, making dyes.
She's the most like Sherlock Holmes of the three in that she is such a keen observer. Well, this is because she's a courtesan. She's a very, she's what we would call a high-priced call girl, but at an extremely high level because whereas today, at least for the last generation or so, politicians have had to keep their mistresses in the background. These courtesans were very public. The top level courtesans were extremely learned. They could hold their own at a table of men who had read, all the great works of classical antiquity. So she's very well educated just to have assumed the position she is at in her profession. But she's also an incredibly keen observer of people because this is essential to her profession. Coming up, she's had to learn, she knows more about men than most men do because she knows them so intimately and she has to look for clues who can be trusted, is somebody who they say they are. So she's the perfect Sherlock Holmes.
The book is The Malice of Fortune. It's a novel. I've been speaking with the author Michael Ennis and The Malice of Fortune, published by McClelland and Stewart.